Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Earlier this month, the California State Legislature introduced a bill that would bar employers from testing their employees for past marijuana use. For legalization advocates, this may seem like a no-brainer, especially for a state in which medical and recreational marijuana is legal. But throughout the country, even in California, testing prospective employees for marijuana use in states where it's legal is a little more complicated than you might think. Despite 15 states having legal recreational marijuana laws and 36 states with legal medical marijuana at the federal level, businesses are still deciding whether to test prospective employees for the substance. The issue has even made its way to the White House, where just last week, the Biden administration fired at least five employees for past marijuana use. This despite the fact that recreational marijuana use is legal in Washington, D.C. Joining me now is Mona Jung, cannabis policy reporter with Politico. Mona, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Tanzina.
So let's talk about what the California bill is intended to do.
Yeah, the California bill would essentially bar employers from conducting pre-employment drug tests on prospective hires. However, it does contain some exemptions, such as, you know, safety-sensitive positions, truck drivers, pilots, you know, construction workers, anyone who uses heavy machinery. A lot of these types of laws contain exemptions to those types of industries.
Has it gotten any pushback yet? Or does it seem to, you know, make sense for folks to say, okay, well, for most jobs, I don't need to be tested, but for these jobs that require a certain amount of coordination, I should be tested?
Yeah, you know, it does make sense. And there's not a lot of pushback to these types of policies in more liberal states. More than a dozen states that have medical marijuana laws on the books also have some sort of anti-discrimination laws for medical marijuana patients. Similar bills have been introduced in the past in California. I don't think it's for lack of political will or anything like that. I think these types of proposals are broadly supported. It's just a matter of, you know, whether the legislature can get to them before the end of session.
Do we know of other states that have attempted to pass legislation like this?
Yeah. So, you know, states approach this issue differently. There are laws that ban pre-employment screening, pre-employment drug tests for marijuana use. There are also laws that basically say employers are not allowed to discriminate against medical marijuana patients. And two states, Maine and Vermont, have similar anti-discrimination language for recreational marijuana use. But it is a complicated issue for states because they do have to exempt, you know, safety-sensitive industries and also any industries that have to adhere to any sort of federal safety guidelines that require them to test for marijuana use, you know, things like pilots and that type of job. Those positions have to be exempted in the laws. And and the way the courts have handled it has been kind of a patchwork.
Tell us a little bit about that. Why has it been a patchwork?
The laws differ from state to state, and I think it really probably just comes down to the court and the judges. The first case in the U.S. to really litigate this was a case in Colorado where a medical marijuana patient sued his employer, the Dish Network, for firing him for his lawful, state legal medical marijuana use. You know, he had a stellar employee record, always had great reviews, and he used medical marijuana not on the job, so he wasn't impaired on the job. That case went all the way up to the Colorado Supreme Court, who ruled against him. They ruled in favor of the employer and said that because marijuana is still illegal under federal law, his employer was allowed to do this, essentially. Since then, I think state courts have started ruling more in favor of patients in these cases, especially in states where there is that sort of anti-discrimination language in the law. You know, you've seen cases in Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Rhode Island, where people have failed pre-employment drug screenings or maybe had a drug test on the job and failed that and have won in court. You know, the courts have said you cannot discriminate against someone for being a legal medical marijuana patient in the state.
Mona, at the federal level, marijuana is still an illegal substance. And we saw what happened at the White House recently, where the Biden administration asked certain employees to disclose their past marijuana use, and some of those employees were fired. Is that because of the fact that marijuana at the federal level is illegal, despite the fact that Washington, D.C. has recreational marijuana use laws on the books?
Yes, I think federal illegality definitely is a huge reason why this sort of thing continues to happen. And different federal agencies approach the issue differently. The FBI, for example, I believe, you can't have marijuana use in the past year. The NSA, it's like 3 years or something like that. Generally speaking, federal agencies, including the military, are sort of loosening their restrictions on past marijuana use just because of so many states legalizing the substance and, you know, having trouble recruiting qualified candidates. And I think you see that phenomenon in employers in states as well that have legalized, where even in states that don't have any sort of anti-discrimination laws on the books, employers are increasingly not testing employees for marijuana just because more people are using marijuana and they don't want to limit their applicant pool.
I'm wondering also, I know that there are companies that test for a wide range of substances. So you can, in the past, before many of these laws took place, you could be tested for marijuana, cocaine, other drugs. And I'm wondering if those drug tests are still happening and they're just excluding marijuana testing from the spectrum of tests that they're offering to prospective employees.
Yes, yes, that's absolutely still happening. You know, a lot of people still test for marijuana, though. I think in states where they aren't sort of firing employees for marijuana tests or refusing to hire them for marijuana tests, even if a marijuana test comes back positive, they may not use that as a justification for firing them. But the other types of drug tests are still happening, and positive marijuana drug tests are actually on the rise because more people are consuming it in states where it's legal.
Well, let's talk about that, because there are folks, they have prescriptions for medical marijuana, and then there are folks who use it recreationally. Does the law look at that differently? And I guess the other question is, does the law look at marijuana use while being employed as different than marijuana use that you may have done prior to being employed?
Yeah, I think, first of all, there are a lot more sort of anti-discrimination protections and state laws for medical marijuana users versus recreational marijuana users. And a lot of these laws, they contain language that basically says this law doesn't prohibit employers from maintaining drug-free workplace policies. And a lot of those laws are explicit in that it just because there are these anti-discrimination laws, it doesn't mean that people can show up to work impaired, right? The difficulty with these laws and for employers is that there isn't a test that can test for marijuana impairment like you have with an alcohol breathalyzer, for example. So, it's hard to prove in court that an employee is impaired. You can smoke a joint 2 weeks ago and test positive for marijuana today. So the technology is lagging on this, and there isn't a clear impairment test. And employers are still allowed to say, hey, you can't show up to work impaired. But how that gets sorted out in the courts without that sort of impairment test, it's fuzzy.
Mona, how is this affecting drug tests across the board? I mean, there are, everything you just said, you could smoke a joint 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago even, and you could still test positive, whereas other drugs might leave your system more quickly, and you could still use them and maybe go undetected. So it's always felt, at least to me, like sort of an uneven testing mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering whether or not the issue of drug testing at all is really coming under scrutiny, right? In terms of whether it's used as a pre-employment tool or whether it's used as an employment tool while people are currently employed. I mean, employers can still say we do spot drug testing or we do surprise drug testing, can't they?
Yeah, they can. And also a lot of employers and some of these medical marijuana cases have come out of situations where an employee had an accident at work or something, which triggers an automatic drug test. I think the conversation around drug testing is so far really focused on cannabis use because there are so many states liberalizing their marijuana laws. And I think as a result of the liberalization of state marijuana laws, these conversations are slowly starting to also happen for other drugs. You know, you've seen liberal states like Oregon, for example, that very early on allowed medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. And now it's, you know, now the conversation has shifted to just drug decriminalization as a whole. So I think as more states liberalize their marijuana laws, you're going to see the conversation shift as far as drug testing is concerned from like just looking at marijuana to like a broader discussion about drug use in general.
And finally, I'm wondering if you can give us an update on what efforts at the federal level look like to make marijuana legal, because the House voted in favor of decriminalizing marijuana last December. But since then, what do we know?
That's right. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has made it clear that marijuana legalization is a priority of his, which is a sharp departure from his predecessor, Mitch McConnell. I think with the MORE Act passed the House, you know, everybody knew that it didn't have a chance in a Senate led by McConnell. He was never going to bring a bill like that up for a vote. Of course, with Schumer, that has shifted. However, a bill like that is going to need 60 votes to pass in the Senate. And so if every single Democrat votes for the MORE Act, for example, you're still going to need to get 10 Republicans on board. So I think that folks in the sort of marijuana industry can be overly optimistic about the chances for federal legalization. I think the chances for some piecemeal incremental legislation are much higher. Things like the Safe Banking Act, which would allow state legal cannabis businesses to access banks and financial services, you know, that has strong bipartisan support. So stuff like that definitely has a higher chance of passing.
Mona Jung is a cannabis policy reporter with Politico. Mona, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.